Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
The Lord again appeared to Abraham, but this time as a man. Abraham actually saw three visitors, but soon realized that he was welcoming the Lord himself among angels. After the men had eaten, two of the three visitors left Abraham to visit the city of Sodom, where Lot lived. The Lord made it clear to Abraham that the wickedness of that city had been brought to God's notice for action. God was going to destroy it and the other nearby cities for the great evil that they were continually committing. Abraham courageously came close to the Lord and humbly asked if he would destroy the righteous with the wicked. Abraham said, "Should not the judge of all the earth do right?" Abraham then asked if God would destroy the city if there were 50 righteous people living there. The Lord said he would spare the city for their sakes. Abraham continued to ask for lower and lower numbers that God would save the city for, and each time God agreed to spare the city. When Abraham asked about saving the city for a scenario of only 10 righteous people living in Sodom, God still agreed not to destroy the city. At this point, Abraham thought he knew 10 righteous people in the city. Lot, his wife, his two sons mentioned in another chapter, two unmarried daughters, two married daughters, and their husbands. But Abraham also knew that he could leave the matter in God's hands. In the end, there turned out to be only one righteous person in Sodom, who was Lot, and God delivered Lot from destruction. This is the first recorded intercessory prayer in the Bible, and it shows that God would rather people repent of their wickedness than have to destroy them. We should not tire of interceding on behalf of even one soul, as God will not tire of listening to us.
Of all the cities during Abram's time, Sodom in the Jordan Valley was probably the most beautiful. The people of Sodom had little need to labor. They lived in luxury and idleness. The search for sensual indulgence and exciting pleasure was their main occupation. Day and night, Sodom rang to the sound of mirth and revelry, feasting and drunkenness. The vilest and most brutal passions were unrestrained. The people openly defied God and delighted in deeds of violence. It was into this city of wickedness that Lot chose to move when given the choice by Abram. The people of Sodom were so evil and wicked that God had no choice but to destroy them, lest their influence and wickedness spread throughout the entire world. The last night of Sodom was approaching. She was to be destroyed on the morrow. That last day was like any other day that had come and gone. Lot took his accustomed place at the city gate, little realizing the imminent danger facing Sodom and its people.
Wait, wait. Those two look like strangers.
Yes, they are. Greetings, friends. You are strangers?
We are.
Well, welcome to Sodom. My name is Lot, and may I be so bold as to invite you to my home as overnight guests?
Thank you, sir. All right, Lot. We will accept your kind invitation.
Gentlemen, go in the front room, please. Visit while I do up the dinner dishes and prepare your beds.
Yes, gentlemen. Come with me, if you will, please. Just be seated, anywhere.
You have a nice home here, Lot.
Oh, it's comfortable. We like it.
From what you said at the gate, we gather that the people of Sodom are wicked.
Oh, indeed they are, sir. It's not safe to be outside after dark. I doubt if the people at the time of the flood were any more wicked when God destroyed them.
Are you suggesting that God might destroy Sodom?
No, not necessarily.
Can you tell us why the people of this city are more wicked than the people of other cities?
The people are idle, sir. They have nothing to do. Idleness is the greatest curse that can come to man. Vice and crime are the products of idleness. Satan lies in ambush for the idle.
Excuse me, Lot, but do I not hear a crowd of people just outside the door?
Yes. I know why they're here, what they want. We must have been observed at the city gate. They know I have brought you here, and they've come to harm you.
Inside. I call down blindness upon all of you.
Oh, you smote those people out there. You, I perceive, you are angels, messengers from God.
Yes, Lot. We are come to destroy Sodom, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord.
Destroy Sodom?
Even as the people of Noah's day were destroyed because of their great wickedness, so shall Sodom be destroyed. But fear not, Lot, for we will protect and save you and all the members of your family who will flee with you from wicked Sodom. For God will not destroy Sodom, nor the earth at the end of all things, except he first provide salvation and a way of escape.
Then the angels bade Lot arise and take his wife and two unmarried daughters and flee the city while there was yet time. But Lot delayed. It was hard to forsake his luxurious home and all the wealth acquired by the labors of his life, and to go forth a destitute wanderer. Stupefied with sorrow, he lingered, loath to depart. The heavenly messengers took Lot and his wife and two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city.
Escape for your lives. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, lest thou be consumed.
And the angels turned back to Sodom to accomplish their work of destruction.
We must hurry, forge onward, and we must not look back, lest we be consumed.
Oh, I don't want to leave Sodom. My daughters are back there. My social ties. Everything I've ever had or wanted is in Sodom. I want to go back. My heart is there. I will take just one last look and see.
Oh, my dear, you look back. You longed for Sodom and you have perished with it. A pillar of salt.
Suddenly, the tempest broke. Brimstone and fire rained out of heaven. Sodom's palaces and temples, costly dwellings, gardens and vineyards, and the gay, pleasure-seeking throngs, all were consumed. The sights of Sodom and Gomorrah became a desolation, a place never to be built up or inhabited. A witness to all future generations of the certainty of God's judgments upon transgression.
This Bible adventure covers the 18th and 19th chapters of Genesis. Lot and his wife were reluctant to leave their comfortable home and rich lifestyle in Sodom on the morning of Sodom's destruction. When told to flee to the mountains, he requested that they flee to the small city of Zoar at the bottom end of the Dead Sea. This was granted by God's mercy, and once Lot was there, this city was spared. But all the other cities of the plain were destroyed. While rushing urgently towards Zoar, Lot's wife turned her face toward the city she was leaving and disobeyed the angels by looking back. Immediately, Lot's wife lost her life and turned into a pillar of salt, becoming an historical example of the consequences of disobedience. When commanded by God to obey, always remember Lot's wife. Lot and his daughters arrived in Zoar, and then great fire and brimstone, which is burning sulphur, fell from heaven onto Sodom, Gomorrah, and all the surrounding cities on the plain. Everything and everyone in those places were destroyed, and the smoke rose back up to heaven for many days. Lot became afraid to live in the city itself, and so he and his daughters decided to live in a deep cave in the mountains. Ever since the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wicked ways, these cities have become a byword that symbolizes wickedness, sexual perversions, and worldliness. The names have also become an example of how God punishes the ungodly. And as one famous preacher said, if God doesn't punish America, and other ungodly nations too, for their many sins, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sadly, people aren't heeding this warning, and time will run out for turning to the Lord for salvation, just as it did for the people watching Noah's Ark. How can parents teach their children God's view of sex and marriage? The scripture is clear. In Ephesians chapter 5 it says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." In Galatians chapter 6 it says, "Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. You will reap exactly what you plant. If you plant in the field of your natural desires, from it you will gather the harvest of death. If you plant in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit you will gather the harvest of eternal life." Speaking of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most." If you're in a sexual relationship with a man or a woman, or even a child that's not approved by God's requirement for marriage between a husband and wife, there is still time to repent or stop this unacceptable behavior. There is still time to change your ways and make things right with God and those who need to know God's standards for holy living. That is one reason why Jesus has been delayed in his return, as his Father God in heaven does not wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. My prayer is that we don't refuse this generous but extremely serious offer while there's still time. In Galatians chapter 5 it says, "Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of your human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants." What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions. Those who believe the gospel of Christ and are justified by faith alone receive the Holy Spirit, which produces self-control in the believer. Then the passions, cravings, and lusts of the flesh are kept subdued. But this position of surrender to Jesus' Spirit is a daily choice of our will. If we try to keep worldly ways in our lives and not fully depend on the Lord, then the fruit of the Spirit won't be seen in us. A believer must flee the world without looking back with regrets or longing, lest he himself be injured or destroyed in its overthrow. The Lord Jesus used Lot's wife as an example in Luke chapter 17. He said, "Remember Lot's wife." And in Mark chapter 8 it's recorded, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Whoever denies Christ in order to save his life and keep the pleasures, pride, and possessions in this world will lose his true spiritual life for eternity." But to lose one's life for Christ and the gospel means to deny oneself and to take up one's cross of sacrifice to follow Jesus every day. If we do so, we will abide in Christ and be filled with abundant living through God's Spirit present within us. What is the goal for all genuine believers? Let us carefully examine our lives and thoughts and consider if we'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.